awesome, awesome treat. How many know Mike Benson? Yeah. Almost called you James Benson. I don't know. I now dub the James. I just changed his name. But Mike Benson, he's been with us before. We support him and his Conquerors International ministry team. He just got back from Albania. He'll tell you a little bit about that. But he has got a good word for you this morning. So give it up for Mike Benson. Mike, come on. It's going to be awesome.
Love you, man.
Love you, too. James. I don't know about James. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah. Woo, good, good, good. Yeah, I'm here today with my beautiful wife, Stephanie, and my bodyguard, Sophia, my little daughter. She's feisty. And my little conqueror's in the back there. He's a little conqueror in the making. As Pastor said, it's an honor and privilege to be a part of a team. You know, amen. God sends us out by two. He sent me out with a bunch of other meatheads. And we have fun transforming communities worldwide with the gospel. And we just returned from Albania about a week ago. And Albania is in the Balkans, which is a very, it's in turmoil right now. A couple countries over from the Crimea and stuff. And Albania is 86% Muslim. And so it's a hard ground, but that's the kind of ground we like, because where it's darkest is where the light shines the brightest. Amen. And we led over 300 Muslims to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. They were Facebooking us. They were sending us messages, and they would say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." I couldn't even pronounce the name if I tried. And I'm Muslim, and I've been crying out to Allah, and he never answers me. But I saw you on TV, and I cried out to Jesus, and he answered me. Ooh. That's the difference between Jesus and all the other so-called gods, is you cry out to him, he will answer you. And we were on a TV show there. A really cool story from that thing. 2 years ago, we were in Albania before. And 2 years ago, we were on this show called The Free Zone. It's their most popular show in all of Albania. And there's 1.5 million viewers, 1.67, something like that. And there was this young man named Riald. Now, Riald was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He was in debt to a lot of people, and a lot of people were looking for him. And one night, he decided, I'm going to end it all. And he hung a noose in his living room, and he turned down The Free Zone. And he heard my testimony on TV and decided to go to the church that I'd be speaking at that Sunday. Well, that Sunday, he came up, gave his heart to Christ. And not only him, but his whole family, which are devout, radical Muslims, they all ended up giving their hearts to Christ too. And so we appeared with him 2 years later on the show, and he was telling his testimony. Very powerful time of ministry. And, it was a little hairy at times because there's a political transition over there, and the mafia wasn't too excited about that. So there was car bombings every day. And we'd hear boom, and that wasn't thunder. And all the sirens would come. But hey, God sent us over there to win souls, not get blowed up. So it was all good. And we did our business and left. You know, the enemy, he's a liar. And he tries to use fear all the time. And fear is false evidence appearing real. And that's what fear is. And he's nothing to be afraid of. Amen? But today I want to talk to you about the pruning season. Every one of us go through a pruning season. Now, the last time I was here, I shared with you that at the beginning of 2013, I had a stroke. And that I was miraculously healed. When I say miraculous, because I've got two areas on my brain that have damage, and the two areas that I have damage, one affects my speech center, and the other one's my strength. Stupid devil. And and it was great, you know, because I walked out of there leaving the neuroscientist scratching her head going, what's going on here? You know, how are you talking and walking and all that? But, you know, something that I wasn't prepared for was post-stroke depression. And I don't know, but I've never experienced depression before because I'm a positive guy. I'm always positive. Everything, I look at the bright side of things. My wife would come to me, you know, back in the day and say, we're behind on all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. God's got it. You know, I'm just an easy going type of guy. But I had this post-stroke depression. And the whole year, ever have one of those years that you can't wait for it to get over? 2013 was that way for me. It was like, get thee behind me, Satan. And it was like, I felt like the whole year of 2013, I was walking through a lion's den with pork chop underwear on. I mean, that's what it felt like the entire year. And when 14 rolled in, I was like, hallelujah, it's over. But, you know, you can never see the growth process when you're going through it, but looking back on it, you can see what God's done. Now, pruning happens during a dormant season of a plant or a tree's life. It happens during a dormant time so that when the pruning happens, it removes things that are supposed to be removed without damaging the tree. And so during that dormant time of my life, God was removing things from me. Now, pruning, the definition is to cut off or remove dead or living parts or branches of a plant to improve shape or growth. Okay? John 15:2, this is in the Amplified Bible. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Okay? Pruning means improvement. That's what it means. Now, I found out that the pruning process for a tree in particular, it shapes the tree, and one of the things about the shape of the tree is all the branches must be going upward toward the sun, and it has to be clear enough for the wind to get through the tree, okay? And for us, we need to be, all our branches of our life need to be going up toward the sun, and we need to let the wind of the Holy Spirit get through us. Okay, we can't afford any blockages in there. So trees are pruned, and I'm going to talk to you about several different aspects of the pruning process. Okay, and pruning is painful, but it's not punishment. Okay, when God prunes you, it's to improve you. It's not to harm you. Now, granted, the pruning process is painful. Okay, the dead things getting cut off is not painful. That's freeing. Amen. That's liberating. Amen. But it's when he cuts off live branches. That's when it can get a little painful. All right, things that are alive in you and on you that he cuts off. Okay, we're going to get into that. John 15:4, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to me, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Any area of your life that is devoid of him is dead. Okay? Even though it may look alive, but if it's not united to him, it's a dead area of your life. Okay? And that can be a little confusing at times. And let me explain what I mean by that. Let's just take finances, okay? That's a big one. Some people, they come to church and they give their tithe. Woohoo! Awesome. That's awesome. But then when they leave church, their money is ruled by their decisions. Okay? Just because you come into church and give God your tithe doesn't mean he's the Lord of your finances. Amen? When God is the Lord of your finances, it's every single financial decision you make with his counsel. Amen? It's when you sit down and you're looking at your finances, you say, I paid my tithes, I've done this, I've done that, I want to get this new boat, and you don't consult the Lord and you go get it. When God could have had you do something else with that finances, you could have waited a little while and you could end up with two boats. Okay? Because God is out to bless you. He's not out to take anything from you. He wants to give into your life. So if you want the Lord to bless you in your finances, you need to let him be the Lord of your finances. Amen?
Amen.
Start messing with money, you know, people get upset. It's all about the relationship. It's not what you're doing or not doing. God is not into doing and not doing. Do, do, do. It's all a bunch of do-do. Right? He is concerned with one thing and one thing only, and that is your relationship with him. Did you know that Jesus' purpose for the earth, coming to the earth, was not to die for your sins? Jesus died for your sins, that's true, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to restore a relationship with the Father. In John, before he left and went into the garden, he prayed to the Father, his last prayer for people, before he went to the cross. And he said things like, that they may be one as we are one. That they may experience your love. That they may know that you love them and they love you. Amen. Okay? There's nothing in there about sin. Sin was taken care of on the cross. That was the obstacle that was removed out of the way so we could have a relationship with the Father. Amen? So don't focus on sin in your life. Because when, you know, I've gone to God at times, I've messed up a lot, and I keep going to God, oh, man, why did you? And he's like, what are you talking about, son? I'm like, you know, I just did this, you know, come on. He's like, I don't see it. What part of paid in full didn't I you get? Come on now. Paid in full. Now, be careful now, because that's not to say, oh, I can just go out and do what I want to. Here's the thing. When you're born again, your want to changes. When you sin, it hurts you inside. Your conscience, it hurts, right? Right. And sin is not something that gets in the way of your relationship. It gets in the way of you. All right? Because God doesn't change. He's not going, oh, you're sinned. I'm away from you today. Oh, no. Okay, you're cleaned up. Now I'm back. No, he's always there. What happens is it affects you. Guilt and shame come in, and then you distance yourself from the Lord. Okay? Ooh, all right, that's a different... All right. So the first kind of branches that every pruner looks for on a tree are dead branches. Those are the no-brainers. You look at a tree, there's buds on it, it's growing, it looks great, except for this one branch is coming out, and there's nothing on it. Matter of fact, the bark is missing. That's a dead branch. And there's some dead areas in our life that need to go. Unfruitful. They're the blatant ones, the obvious dead things, okay? Colossians 3:5. This is also in the Amplified translation. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members. Those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Okay? Because here's the thing. Whenever we choose to do things our way instead of consulting our Lord, we've committed one of the greatest sins, which is idolatry. I'll just take drinking for an example. Most people struggle or have a problem with drinking. The problem is not the drink. The problem is their source of comfort. Okay? There's pain in their heart and in their soul, and they want to escape it, and they want comfort, so they drink. It makes them feel good. I understand that. All right? But it's not just quitting that, because if you don't get with the root source, you're going to replace that comfort with something else. And usually what it is you go to something else besides God for your source. That's idolatry. Now, if there's an area in your life where you're struggling or whatever, the enemy's trick is to get you to believe that that branch dictates the rest of the tree. I'm doing this and doing that, but I got this one area where I'm really struggling, so I must be all the way bad. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God created you wonderfully. He bought you into himself. When he looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes. It's not that he doesn't know them. He doesn't see them. He chooses to look the other way. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. Amen? In order to remove things from a tree, dead or alive, the pruning instrument must be sharp. Okay? And the reason dead things are removed is because usually they're diseased. And they're removed so they don't spread. Amen? If you have an area, in one area of your life that's diseased, if you don't get rid of it, it'll spread into other areas of your life. It's when that conscience convicts you of something and you ignore it and say, oh, I'll just keep on going. That's when it starts to harden, and then it'll spread into another area of your life. Hebrews 4:12, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. Now it says that the word God speaks, okay, the scripture is the written word of God. But we need to maintain our relationship and hear from God on a daily basis, okay? Like the simple things in life, decisions. Say I'm going to buy a house. We're going to move out of our house. We're going to buy a house. And I've got two options. I can't look up in the scripture, Matthew 9:29, and say, thou shalt thou this day buy this house with the address, right? I need to hear a word from the Lord. And in order to hear somebody and converse with somebody, you got to be in close proximity with them. Amen? You got to be close to them. You got to be on good. You got to be able to communicate with them. So the Bible is there as a guide, so that the voice you're hearing, you can check it by the standard. Okay, all right. And we need a living word from God every day.
Come on,
every day. And let me tell you, I've done it several times, and every day that I wake up and I do not first consult my Lord and seek him for the day is a day that I've declared by my action that I don't need you today, God. I got this on my own. And when you think you got things on your own, that's saying I'm God of this life and I don't need you. Yeah. Because every single day I need him. And I'm not just talking it. I need him every day. On the good days when things are going good, those are the hardest times. It's not hard to get in his face when things are going rough. That's where you're all, oh, Lord, help me. I need help. But when things are going great, we're like, oh, I got this, God. When a man think, when he thinks he stand, watch, lest he fall. Then there's blocking branches, okay? After you get rid of the dead branches, you got to get rid of blocking branches. These are branches that are not necessarily bad things. Things that are, they're growing, they're going in line with the other branches, but they're blocking another branch, making it unfruitful. Because whenever an area of a tree is shaded, keeping the sun from shining, the fruit is either non-existent or it doesn't come to fruition. And so some of these branches have to be removed. These are things, everyday things, that seem like no big deal. But they block. Block what? Block your relationship with the living God. They become more important than your prayer life. They become more important than your time in the Word of God. They become more important than spiritual disciplines. They're blocking fruit from manifesting in your life. Amen? Luke 10:38-42. This is also in the Amplified. Now while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, describes American culture to a T, was distracted with much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand, and to do her part along with me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Luke 10:42 in the Living Bible says, there is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We live in the culture of major distraction. We live in the culture of being concerned about many things. Now, Jesus wasn't mad at Martha. Martha wasn't doing anything sinful. It wasn't like, oh, Jesus is here. Oh, my sister's sitting at his feet. Okay, I'm going to step out back and smoke a joint real quick. It wasn't something obvious. She's like, oh, I gotta get the house ready. You know how it is, ladies. My wife will be like, you having somebody come over? Oh, no, you're not. Not yet. The house has got to get in order first. You know, us guys are like, yeah, come on over, man. It's no problem. You know, they got to have the house in order. Everything's got to be, you know, everything's got to, well, what are we going to have? You know, all that stuff. So she wasn't doing anything wrong. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was tending to her house, getting, she wanted everything. She was fussing about everything, but her sister chose the thing that's to her advantage. Anytime you choose something else over Jesus, it's a disadvantage to you. Anytime. And the cares and the busyness of everyday life have a tendency of choking our time. Our time. Let me tell you, anything you set aside for time in his presence, whatever you set aside will be 10 times more blessed than if you did it on your own. Because anything that you invite the Lord into will get blessed. It's not your labor that will make it blessed. It's his favor that'll make it blessed. Amen? Now, I like that spiritual philosophy. Because I'm a laid-back guy. Oh, let the Lord take care of it. He'll get it. You know? I'm not like one of these guys who've got to get everything done, jot every I and cross every T. But, you know, those are the areas that are the little foxes spoil the vineyard. Amen? So once you get past the disease branches, the dead things that need to be cut out, you got to watch out for the blocking branches. Anything that blocks your vital union with God. Anything, okay? And Luke 8:14, and as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not ripen, does not come to maturity and perfection. There's things that block you. You have a little bit of fruit, but then there's things that come in and block you, and your fruit does not come to maturity. Your priorities determine their importance. Whatever you prioritize is what you consider to be highly important in your life. And when Jesus is Lord of your life is when he is the top priority in your life. When you consult him on everything. And you're like, man, that's a lot of work. I got to consult them on everything. It's better than consulting yourself.
Amen?
Amen? Because that's what we do. We consult somebody. We consult our own understanding. We consult the conventional wisdom. We consult something. If we consult him in every area of our life, I guarantee you, you take 10 days and you consult him in every decision that you make, and you watch how 10 days is 10 times more blessed than any other day you've lived in your life. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I mean, I get to the point where I'm like I was turning in cans yesterday. And I'm turning cans. There's a repair guy next to me, and he's repairing this thing. And I'm just turning in cans, and I stopped. And I spoke to the Lord inside. I said, Lord, do you got a word for this guy? Do you have something for me to do here? And he said, no. So I just kept turning in cans. But I'm getting aware of every moment, every bit of life, there's a purpose behind it.
That's right.
Because God has a purpose for every one of us. And he wants to show the world his purpose through you. some of the things that are blocking branches, you know, hey, if you want to chase a little white ball around 9-18 holes, that's all good. Me personally, I don't see anything in that. I'm going to pick on sports for a minute. Or if you want to watch a bunch of guys run around in a racetrack, going around and around and never getting anywhere, more power to you. This lady, I was in Nuevo or somewhere, and I was talking on NASCAR. She came up all NASCAR'd out. She said, you know, I like NASCAR. I said, I couldn't tell, but yeah. Somebody once said NASCAR is a good representation of most people's lives. A lot of activity going around circles, but never getting anywhere. Ooh. I said, that'll preach. In some circles. I'm not dogging your NASCAR. There's nothing wrong with NASCAR. I understand. There is a competition there. I'd probably be on the wall like half a lap, okay? I know it's athletic. I know it's all those things. I'm not against it. I'm not against golf, although I can't understand it. Or basketball or football or any of that stuff. It's all good, okay? There's so many good things about athletes. I'm an athlete myself, okay? I break things for a living. God hooked me up, man. What used to be malicious destruction of property, now it's ministry. You know? There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. As long as it doesn't get in the way with your relationship with God. Then it becomes an issue. You know, I study Krav Maga. And my Krav Maga instructor, he likes to have some of these seminars he does on Sundays. Well, I'm like, thank God for Saturday service, because if there wasn't, I wouldn't be going to them. Because it doesn't matter. Nothing can stand in the way of my relationship with the living God. That's right. Nothing. Amen?
Amen?
And then there's branches that grow down and inward, okay? Those branches got to go, or the sucker branches at the bottom. Sometimes the sucker branches at the bottom can represent relationships. You need to get the suckers out of your life. People who are taking from you and not giving. Those kind of relationships need to be cut off in your life, okay? There's a season where you go through a relationship, okay, Lord, all right. You go through a relationship where it can seem like they're sucking the life out of you at first. It's because they're meant to, for a season. Because God has sent them in your life so that you can feed into them, so that you can help them, okay? So I'm not distinguish the difference here. But then there comes a point where they haven't heeded what you've given to them and they keep taking. You've got to discern. Me, I really got to watch it in that area, because I'm a person, I'm a minister. That's what I do for a living. I help people. And so I've really had to learn that some people, you know, there's a time when God's saying, okay, that's enough, cut it off. And I haven't listened to him, and it's cost me. It's cost me time, it's cost me emotional energy, it's cost me a lot. And I'm an extreme person, ask my wife. I'm black or white. And so my tendency is, oh, okay, I'm going to learn from that. So I did, and then I just start cutting them off too early. Oh, yep. Oh, you're crying? Yep, see ya. Have a good day. The Lord bless you. Have a nice day. That's not right either. That's why I got to rely on him, even in my relationships. Because the enemy will send people into your life to suck the life out of you. The sucker branch has got to go. Okay? And then there's branches that grow inward, and this is the negative self-dialogue, okay? This is by far the most detrimental thing to your walk with God. It's the most detrimental thing to your career. It's the most detrimental thing to your relationships. It's the most detrimental thing to everything in your life, is negative self-dialogue. People speak at 150 to 200 words per minute. Average. Women probably a little higher. Guys probably a little lower. Ugh. Guys, if they're sitting down watching something together and they don't say a word, they're fellowshipping. They leave edified and filled up. Women, they got to talk for, you know, never mind. My wife's here, I got to be good. The mind can listen to 500 to 600 words per minute, okay? That's how many words per minute your mind can listen to. It's amazing, it's amazing. Our conversation with ourselves is at 1,300 words per minute. How is that possible? Because our mind sees in pictures and you can see a thought in a nanosecond. That is by far the most detrimental or the most beneficial conversation you can have is with yourself. Negative self-dialogue destroys more than anything else. The devil don't have to talk to you if you're talking to yourself now. What's he got to worry for? Philippians 4:8. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Now, you can't think of those things in others if you can't think about it for yourself. Here's the fact. You are more than a conqueror. You've been made the head, not the tail. You've been put above, not beneath. Yep. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. You're blood bought. If God had a picture on the refrigerator, your picture would be on there.
Yes.
Your picture would be in his wallet. He showed how much he loves you and how much he values you by sending his son Jesus to die for you. That's how valuable you are. You need to meditate on what God says about you, what God thinks about you, what God's done for you and is doing for you on a continual basis. I read books, and I love to read books. And right now I'm on a John Maxwell kick. And this one book is the 15 Laws of Personal Growth. And I got this one chapter, it's about your self-dialogue. And he had a challenge. He said, write 100 things that you can see valuable about yourself. Oh, man. And he said in there, if I asked you to write negative things, you'd have that lick no problem, wouldn't you? But it's amazing what it's done. I've got to about 65 or 66. That's all as far as I could get right now. But he said, take as much time as you need. You can take 5-6 months if it takes it, but write it all down. I got it written in a journal. And as I began writing, I started to really see the value of who I am. How God created me. I said, dang, God, you created a bad mammer jammer. I'm all that in a bag of chips. Woo! God, this is great. And then I get in there and I look and I meditate on those things and remind myself, meditate on those things, all the negative stuff starts going to the side. I tell you, you get your internal dialogue lined up with the dialogue in heaven about you.
Come on now.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. And then you get that dialogue squared away, then you'll know what it means to be opposed by the enemy. Because he is more fearful of somebody who knows who they are better, more than anything else. Listen, church, we're in the end times. This is the end times right now. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or four prophets to figure that out. These are the end times. And in America, we've enjoyed so much freedom, but our freedom is slowly being taken away. Now, I don't like talking about politics because Greek word poly meaning many, ticks, small blood-sucking creatures. But the political landscape of our nation is not full of light. In this state, the people voted for a ban on same-sex marriage. One judge... turns it over, and they're marrying. That is an abomination. It's an abomination. It makes me mad. But God's like, don't get mad at the judge. You got to get upset with the people who put the judge in office. The politicians are in power because we put them there.
Yep.
And the only way to change this nation is by changing the hearts of the people. Amen. And we need to turn hearts of the people back to the living God. But they can't see the goodness of the gospel. They can't see the awesome love of Jesus Christ if we're busy downing ourselves, talking negative about ourselves, walking down with our heads down, woe is me. They need to see us living victoriously in Christ Jesus. They need to see sons and daughters of the King living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation with joy, with peace. Yeah, they need to see that. They don't need to hear another sermon. They need to see the gospel alive in front of them. They need sons and daughters of God in the grocery store walking up to people saying, hey, the Lord just gave me a word about you. I want to pray for you. And rocking their world. Getting them saved in the grocery stores. Getting them saved in the malls. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're all ministers of the gospel. You know the pulpit? The pulpit is a training ground for ministers. You don't have to have a title, pastor, evangelist, any of that. Every one of you, you've got the Spirit of God in you, you're called to minister. You're called to bear fruit and multiply. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for one simple reason. I want you to get real with yourself. Without looking around, don't worry about what anybody else is doing. I want you to do a heart check right now. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Not do you know about him, but do you know him? Here's a fact. Every one of us one day, one way, we're going to leave these bodies and we're going to stand before the living God. And he's not going to whip out scales and put all our good deeds on one side, our church attendance, our witnessing, our Bible study, and then our bad things on the other side to see which determines eternity. He's going to look every one of us directly in the eye. He's going to ask us one question that's going to determine eternity. Do you know my son? And does he know you? That's it. If you're honest with yourself and in your heart you say, Mike, I do not know him. I know a lot about him, but I do not know him. Here's the good news. Today, you can. You can know him. Or maybe you're here and you know God, but the things of life have come in and separated you from your relationship from the living God. You're like the prodigal son who's left him. No longer do you feel intimacy with him. No longer do you read your Bible for the joy of knowing him. And you're like, I need to come back to the Lord. I need to come back. I need to. If that's you in either of those conditions, you don't know the Lord or you need to come back to him, I'm going to count to three. I want you to do a simple thing. Nobody look around. I just want you to raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three. Slip up your hands. I see those hands. Raise them up. Raise them up high. I see them. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, you can put your hands down. Would everybody in here, along with those who raise their hand, repeat this prayer with me? Mean it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Dear Jesus, this day, I surrender all. My heart, my soul, my body, my life. I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because I believe that Jesus died. So I could live. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive, that I'm born again, that I'm restored to fellowship with the Father God in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause.
Yeah. Woo!